I thank the Lord's servant for giving testimony tonight and ask you now to turn with me to Acts chapter 1. And I know the hour is late, but we still have some minutes left. And I want to draw our attention to some words from what we've read. I want to say that the ministry of the angels, as recorded both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is a feature, a prominent feature. And if we continue and confine ourselves to one aspect of their ministry, it will be most enlightening to us. And that is their ministry with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are well conversant with Holy Scripture, just cast your mind back. Before the Lord Jesus' incarnation and birth, the angel appeared to Mary and told her what he was visiting her about. And then whenever the baby Jesus was born, angels appeared to shepherds as they kept watch over their flocks that night. And then about 30 years later or so, when the Lord Jesus Christ embarked upon his public ministry, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And he was there 40 days and 40 nights. And Mark's account tells us that the wild beasts were with him, and he with the wild beasts and angels ministered unto him. If we go forward another 3 years or so, we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible tells us there appeared an angel from heaven strengthening him. And of course, at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Mary and the others went to the tomb, an angel had rolled away the stone and was sitting on that stone whenever those ladies went up to the tomb. And whenever they went inside, there were other angels there. In Acts chapter 1, we have angels associated with that glorious event of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. And during the course of that, because of the behavior, nothing wrong with their behavior, but the behavior of the apostles who saw him go into heaven, two men appeared by those apostles, stood by them, dressed in white, and addressed them with a very brief message that I want us to look at for a few minutes as we come to a close. And that message is found in verse 11, but we'll read verse 10 as well with it. And while they, that's the disciples, the apostles, looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, and the ninth verse tells us he was taken out of their sight, behold, in verse 10, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now here's the message, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So tonight, for a few minutes, I want to speak to you about an angelic message. An angelic message. And there are three things I want to draw your attention to. Two about it. The first is the content of the message. The content of their message was the second coming of our Lord Jesus. Verse 11 again, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The second advent of Christ is a very prominent feature of the Word of God, and especially in the New Testament. He himself talked about it. The apostles talked about it. And now the angels are speaking about it to these disciples here. And that's a very important doctrine. Not only because there's much said in the Bible about it, but because of the phenomena associated with it. Now we're not going to be dealing with that tonight. But the Bible tells us that when the Lord comes back again, there's going to be consternation among the nations. And there's going to be fright and pandemonium among the unconverted people who will cry for the mountains and rocks to fall upon them. But it is a comforting truth, because it will be then that the believers who have died in Christ will receive their resurrection bodies. And those of us, if we are alive at that particular time, in an instant our bodies will be changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. It will be a time whenever the evil in the world will be overcome, whenever wrongs will be put to rights, and whenever the Lord will reign supremely in the affairs of men. There will also be the binding, or the binding up of the devil, while the Lord is exercising the 1,000-year part of his earthly reign at that particular time of his coming. Now, these angels refer to three things about the coming again of the Lord. First of all, it will be physical. Notice what they said. This same Jesus, the same Jesus, the one whom they've been talking to earlier, if you read further up the chapter, the one who had revealed himself to them. Notice verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It would be no apparition. It would be the Lord Jesus Christ coming back again physically and literally. He would also come back in great glory. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 27, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And it's interesting that as the Lord Jesus Christ went up to heaven here in Acts chapter 1 verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And the Lord Jesus will come back in the clouds of heaven again. So there will be the glorious aspect to it in like manner. The Shekinah glory, part of it the cloud, as we read of in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So there will be a physical appearing, a glorious appearing, and a miraculous. It was a miracle of the Lord's own power that he gently ascended from them and went into heaven, and they kept their eyes upon him, and he will come back miraculously as well when he bursts the clouds asunder and the heavens are ablaze with his glory. What a day that will be. I have to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for it? If you're not a Christian, you have no idea of the awful consternation and mayhem that will be for you at that particular time. And those of us who are Christians, we don't want to be, as John tells us, ashamed at his coming. The content of the message, the second coming of Christ, the comfort of the message is the second thing I want to draw your attention to. And notice, first of all, the identity of the returning one. This same Jesus, they said. Even though we will come back in power and great glory, it will be the same Jesus. The same Jesus who had called them 3 years or so before the event of his ascension. The Lord who had saved them. The Lord who had commissioned them into his service. The Lord who had taught them many things during that 3 years. The Lord who had prayed for them. The Lord who had died for them and made atonement for them and obtained eternal redemption for them. The same Jesus who had risen again from the dead is coming back. What a comforting message. Not only the identity of the returning one, but the testimony of the angels. These angels actually bore witness to that. And it appears that the disciples were not aware of them for a time until they came apparelled in white. And these were messenger sent from God to these apostles in their time of what I believe would have been their apprehension. We're going to be left alone now and will not have the Lord Jesus with us anymore. But they're coming to give a comforting message that they would see the Lord Jesus one day, that the Lord Jesus would come back. The identity of the returning one and the testimony of the angels. And then thirdly, we pass from the content of their message, from the comfort of their message, to the challenge of the message. They say, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" Notice verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. I believe they had actually fixed their gaze on him and watched him going right up until he went out of their sight. And even though he was gone, these apostles were still gazing up into heaven, verse 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, then we find these two men, these two angels, ministering to them. So there's a challenge here. These angels said, "Ye men of Galilee," angels know us, knew that these were Galileans, knew who Zacharias was when he appeared, Gabriel appeared to tell him about the birth of John the Baptist, knew who and where Mary was, that young lady, that young virgin lady that was told she was going to be the vehicle of the incarnation and birth of the Lord Jesus. And he knew, or they knew, that the ladies would come to the tomb and they said, "I know whom ye seek. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here, as he said. Go and tell my disciples," is the message of the Lord that the angels were given to the ladies. "Go and tell my disciples and Peter." So the angels know a lot, and they knew all about the situation here with these Galileans. And not only do angels know us, but they knew that these apostles were gazing up into heaven. Why were they gazing into heaven after Jesus had gone out of their sight? Were they hoping to see something unique? Even though he told them that he would be going away from them and he would send the Holy Spirit to be his representative, to be the paraclete, to be their comforter on earth. Yet, they seemed, and I know I'm speculating, but hoping that perhaps he'll just return again and come right back to them. And the angels then gently chide them. "Say, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" In other words, you've work to do for the Master. And so this is what God did. He sent the angels in this particular instance to stir them up. The Lord had left them, and they would not see him again until the time that he came back. Although the Apostle Paul, as one born out of due time, met with the angel of the Lord. In fact, it was the Lord himself on that particular night in Corinth and elsewhere, where he had a very harrowing time. And what about us, ladies and gentlemen? We can only see the Lord Jesus with the eye of faith, and that is enough for us. The Bible says, "Henceforth know we not Christ after the flesh." Our vision of him, our sight of him, our knowledge of him is spiritual. And while it would be lovely to see him face to face one day, yet now as we walk by faith, we know how he is revealed to us in the Word of God. What a message. There's certainty in it. There's conviction in it. There's comfort in it. There's a challenge in it. May we take it to heart, and may we, both Christian and non-Christian alike, be prepared. The Christian by giving ourselves afresh to the Savior, and the non-Christian, while there is time, trusting Christ, who has come 2,000 years ago to make atonement for our sins. and to save our souls. Trust him tonight. And if you're a backslider, you used to run well, but you've been hindered, get back to the Savior tonight. Take with you words, as Hosea says, and say unto him, take away all iniquity, and we will render unto thee the calves of our lips. And the Lord will respond, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely. So in the words of Hosea, I've said to you, O Israel, return unto the Lord, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. May God grant that we'll all be ready against that great day when the Lord comes back again. Let's bow together in prayer.